Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, friends, what's on your mind today? Do you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us? Give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number, of course, good, as always, in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we all go through troubles in life, hardships. Life just comes at us in various ways, and sometimes it's just tough. And we know we're saved. We know the grace of God has saved us. But there's something more that God wants us to learn. And what he wants us to learn is that God's grace is sufficient through all of those hardships, all of those trials, all of those tribulations. A number of years ago, a rock group, REM, which I was familiar with at the University of Georgia. They formed and got their start at the University of Georgia when I was a student there. But they wrote a song, and it was really directed at the suicide epidemic of the day. And it was saying, hey, find some comfort in your friends. If you feel like you're at the end of your rope, there are people that you can connect with that can help you through that. But one of the lyrics of the song was this: everybody hurts sometimes. And that's true. We all hurt at various times in this life. That's just part of being human. We're not going to escape it. Now, we try to insulate our kids from ever being hurt, and you know, there's some good to that to a degree, but you can't insulate them from hurt. They're going to get hurt emotionally. And what they need, and what we all need, is to know that there's somebody that actually cares. There's somebody that is actually there with us, and his grace in our lives is sufficient. Certainly, Paul was experiencing a lot of trouble in his ministry. I mean, everywhere he went, he suffered persecution. I don't know there was a single place that welcomed him with open arms.
Right.
There were certain groups of people that loved him, just genuinely loved him, and they were with him and supported him. But that's not the majority. I mean, every place he went, there was trials, there was tribulations, there was trouble, there was persecution. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes about that, and he says, I would much rather boast about my weaknesses. Now, I can certainly boast about things. There was a time when I was elevated to the third heaven, and that isn't the saying that there are different levels of heaven. It's just saying he was elevated to the place where God is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he saw some visions and saw some things, and to keep him from being boastful about that, weaknesses followed him, hardships followed him. And he said three times, and he prayed about it three times, and about this thorn in the flesh. And he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This life is really all about Jesus. It really is his story. It was his story of the news that broke 2,000 years ago, that he entered into our world, took upon himself flesh and blood, and then he offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice to die for our sins. So the first part of this story of the good news is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. And then that body was laid in a borrowed tomb, so he was buried. And then he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Now, that's the story. And when we receive the story, we are caught up in it. We are taken up into that great story that is Christ and Christ alone. And we become partakers of it because he has imparted himself to us. He comes to live inside of us. So our story, our life, is to be lived by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if we try to overcome these hardships through our own strength, we're going to find that we're not strong enough. So we might as well recognize that truth. We might as well confess the truth about our weaknesses, our frailties as human beings, and thank God that He's alive living inside of us and that His grace is sufficient for us in all things. So if you're going through hardship today, I pray that this passage is a real encouragement to you and that you can truly experience the reality of this, that God's grace is sufficient for you. Don't be afraid to admit your weaknesses. Don't be afraid that life is too big for you to handle on your own. Gladly admit the truth and recognize that you have someone bigger inside of you who has already won the battle, who has already become victorious over sin and death, has already defeated all of the hardships of life. And so we can turn to Him, we can lean upon Him, we can trust in Him and learn this marvelous truth that God's grace is sufficient in all things.
That is basic gospel, and that's what you hear each day. We're glad to be able to be actually privileged to bring this message to you every day. Friends, we would like for you to be a part of it. Give us a call and join the conversation right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And as we've noted before, this month we reached the end of yet another fiscal year, and friends, we hope to do so much more than just meet that budget. We hope to exceed it so that we can take the... Richard, why don't you fill us in? Why is that important?
Well, we want to meet the budget. I mean, that's just fundamental business. Mm-hmm. But there are so many opportunities available to us right now to take this message further than it's ever gone before. And we don't do that by speculating.
Yeah.
We do that by paying as we go. And to the extent that we blow through the budget and raise more money, that means there are more opportunities that we can take advantage of. Those opportunities mean individual people who get to hear the story of Jesus and have it change their lives. That's worthwhile.
You bet.
That's why we ask for this.
And let me add a note to that. As far as actual numbers, we started this month with a $150,000 need to really meet our target and be beyond that target. It's actually about $130,000 now. So folks are already responding, are already being generous. Let's keep this momentum going. Yeah. And by June 30th, let's blow through this target. Yeah. And really position Basic Gospel on a strong financial footing so that we can really entertain new opportunities on July 1 as our new fiscal year starts.
And that's an exciting prospect. Friends, you can donate online at basicgospel.net, or you can call and make your gift to Basic Gospel at 844-322-2742. Help us reach not only that budget, but go, as Bob and Richard were saying, far beyond that fiscal year in need. Again, make your gift at basicgospel.net. Just click donate on that homepage, or by phone at 844-322-2742. And in Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, to some email questions, guys. This first one is from Walt, and he would like to know, how can I know for sure that I am saved?
Well, that is a great question, and we want to know that. Mm-hmm. We don't want to live in a state of insecurity. We don't want to walk on eggshells as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. Now, I think the Word of God is where we need to go, and there are several passages in the Word of God that really give us the assurance that we're looking for. There is John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about the fact that no one can snatch us out of God's hands and no one can snatch us out of His hands. Mm-hmm. Well, that's assurance. That's assurance of our salvation. Once we're in Christ, that's a forever thing. We also have to realize that salvation is more than just receiving a golden ticket to grant us entry into heaven when we die. Now, if we might put that in our pocket, we might put it in a drawer in our house, but there's always a fear, what if I lose that? Yeah, and when right. I die, I don't have anything to present. Yeah. Well, salvation is not that golden ticket that grants us entry into heaven. We get our sins forgiven. We receive that forgiveness that Jesus provided 2,000 years ago. But even more, we receive his very life. He comes to live inside of us, and he has an indestructible life. So he's given us his indestructible life, and that's why Hebrews 7 at the very end of that passage says that God, that Jesus Christ is able to save us completely. So it's not a temporary salvation, it's a complete. Why? Because we've been given the very indestructible life of Jesus Christ himself. And when he appears, he who is our life, so we have that assurance. We also have the passage in 1 John. So there were lots of crazy teachings going on that prompted John to write the letter to a group at Ephesus. And that's what we think. And there were crazy teachings. I mean, there was a group coming in, and they were all enlightened and had this super secret knowledge. And they were saying, hey, this Jesus who you proclaim came in the flesh, he didn't come in the flesh. He was just a spirit being. And boy, if you really understand that, then that knowledge is going to be the very knowledge that saves you. So they were denying that Jesus had come in the flesh. They were denying that he died physically, that his body, that physical body, was laid in a borrowed tomb, that that physical body was raised back to life. They were denying the gospel message. And so lots of people were hearing that, and they were getting confused, and they were crying out, tell us the truth. Tell us the truth, John. So John wrote, I write to you, 1 John 5:11-13. I write to you about this testimony, that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you so that you may know you have eternal life. So those are three different passages in the New Testament that talk about our assurance in Christ. So the Word of God bears witness to the fact that once we're saved forever. But then we have something even more important, and that's the fact that God's Spirit is alive in us. And God's Spirit bears testimony, bears witness to our human spirits that we are indeed children of God. So we have the testimony of the Word of God, and we have the internal testimony of the Spirit of God telling us that we are truly a part of the people of God.
Yeah.
So that's how we know that we're saved. And if you will just rest on those passages, again, we will post those to our page today to let you know those passages of assurance. But rest in the fact that God has made you alive, and he has come to live in you, and that his Spirit is bearing witness with your human spirit that you are indeed a child of God.
And that is good news. And, Walt, thank you for your question. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and we would love to hear from you right now, as a matter of fact, at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm glad that you're with us. My name is Bob Davis, and, Bob, I think we have a call on the line.
We do. Let's go talk to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hi, family. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, you know what? I just, it doesn't get much better. And thank you very much for being there. I was so encouraged. I increased my giving, and I'm believing God to increase it even more. But I've got a concern for the body of Christ. You guys know I communicate with several people around the nation. And we got a little buddy in Tampa, Florida, and we've been dealing with him. The church he goes to, he feels like garbage every time he walks out of the place. He's got friends that call him that just heap, you know, they don't heap condemnation and judgment on, but they just throw scriptures at him out of context, and he always feels like garbage. And I was thinking, after talking to him the other day, you know, Jesus said that we're to love one another as he has loved us. And this goes to every single believer in the body of Christ, that, you know, if Jesus doesn't do it toward us, we shouldn't be doing it toward one another. I don't care what it is. And Jesus certainly isn't heaping judgment and condemnation on us. And so I look at it like, you know, we need to be encouraging. We need to be just doing things toward one another that Jesus is doing toward us. And for some reason, I think people may miss that. And I just like you all to comment on that or talk about it, because it does tie into forgiveness and different things like that. And I love you all dearly. And
Well, Brad, great question. We appreciate your call. But it does tie into this gospel story, doesn't
it? Sure does.
That God condemned sin and sinful man, and he showed that at the cross. And so judgment and condemnation have already been meted out.
Yes.
And Jesus, you know, bore that. He took in himself our sins, and he became that sin offering. And so that judgment was very clear, and it was,
yes.
And it wasn't a light judgment. It took the full extent of God's judgment against sin. That's what Jesus bore in his body. But in his ministry, in his earthly ministry, he said, I didn't come to condemn. I've come to save the lost. And so that's what he did. He saved the lost. Why? Because he had already judged their sins in his body, or he knew that was forthcoming. Mm-hmm. So his purpose was to save the lost. And once the lost are saved, he isn't about the business of condemning them again. He's in the business of helping them experience his life to the full. That's why I came. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. So if we're going to be about the Lord's business, then condemning others isn't going to meet the bill.
No.
Why? Because that's not God working in you. God isn't working that condemnation in you to pass on to others. God is going to be working his life in you, his life of love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And those are the things that we need to be passing on in our relationships one to another. Why? Because that's the gospel story. That's what Jesus is all about. And so if we're going to abide in his life, live in his life, then those are the fruits that are going to be expressed in and through us. We don't produce those. We just bear those things. So God isn't about condemning. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He also says that he's given us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. Yeah. So that's what we get to take out in the world. That's our foundation. That's our cornerstone. That's our very life. And so our words should reflect that truth.
Absolutely. Well, Brad, good to hear from you as always, friend. Friends, you're invited inside the studio every day on Basic Gospel. You can get the live video stream of the daily program from our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. You can also stay connected with Basic Gospel through the Basic Gospel app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, we hope you'll do it today. Well, guys, I had a question from Richard, not our Richard, but another Richard, in regard to Exodus 34:7 about keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. He would like to know, what is the difference between iniquity, transgression, and sin? Is there a difference that people can use as an excuse?
Well, sin is a pretty big word. It's an archery term as far as the Greek is concerned, and it means missing the mark. And so we're born in sin, and so we've missed the mark of why God created us to begin with, to be his image bearers. When sin entered the picture, it changed that. And so sin is a big word. It's expressed in an independent, rebellious spirit toward God. It's expressed in unbelief. So the root of sin is unbelief. That's what it is at its core. Paul defined it that way in Romans. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So that's truly missing the mark as to what our life was designed to be by God from the very get-go. Now, that's restored when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. We move from unbelief to belief. And so the core has been corrected.
Yes.
It's been changed in us, and that's good news. Now, transgressions are specific to laws. So you can't have a transgression if there's not a law to transgress. So if you're going down the road and you're traveling at 85 miles per hour and you pass a sign that says speed limit 75 and you look at your speedometer, then you know you've transgressed the speed limit of 75. So there's the Ten Commandments, and there were transgressions of those commandments. We have laws in our country that people transgress, they violate. And James talks about that we transgress the law. So those are specific to a set of laws, rules, and regulations. Iniquity really speaks to the evilness in our own hearts. Now, that's been corrected when we've come to Christ. We get new hearts. But before, the heart was evil and deceitful. Who could trust it? Mm-hmm. And Jesus talked about that. Out of the heart comes all of these things, adultery and murder and all of that. So it's the planning of acts against others that are going to bring them harm. And that's basically what iniquity is all about. Yeah. But all of that gets corrected through the gospel story, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate hearing from you, Richard, as well. And a quick question here. This is from Christopher, not Bob, but another Christopher. Many thanks for your incredible life-changing ministry. It's a question. What are the spiritual blessings talked about in Ephesians 1:3?
Well, the whole book of Ephesians really spells those out. You know, he says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and then the rest of the book is basically the list of those spiritual blessings, the fact that we're chosen to be adopted as sons and daughters of God, the fact that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in his name, the fact that we have the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our eternal inheritance. We've been sealed. Those are all the blessings that we've received in Christ. And, you know, those are just three. There's many others, aren't there, Richard?
Yeah, and all of this is dependent solely upon in Christ. We could talk about all this stuff, and if you leave Jesus out of it for even a millisecond, it becomes nothing. It just fizzles away like fog that burns off.
Yeah.
But in Christ, it's as real as your hand. It's in you. It's part of you because Jesus is part of you. And so, yeah, read all of Ephesians.
Yeah.
It's a worthwhile read.
You're
gonna see
that.
It doesn't take long.
And he's really kind of expanding out what we learn in Hebrews about this new covenant.
Yes.
So we are made partakers of this new covenant, and in this new covenant is every spiritual blessing. So Paul in Ephesians 1 is just expanding out on these new covenant promises.
Yes.
That we have in Christ Jesus. So we're blessed with the riches of God's grace. He's poured it out on us, you know, without measure. And that is good news.
That is good news. And good questions today. And friends, keep them coming. We love hearing from you. Well, friends, as a listener-supported ministry, we ask you to step up and help this new covenant message to keep going on our existing station affiliates and online, and to take it to new areas and new listeners. Please join with us and donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And we thank you for your love and your support of this ministry. That's basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. Remember, Canadian listeners, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Remember also that if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, 844-322-2742 is available anytime you choose to call. That's 844-322-2742. Give us a call on that line. We would love to address your question tomorrow on Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow. We will be. We hope you will be too. Bye-bye.